honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah. O bless our God, ye people, make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver's tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou layest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Amen. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to come into your house tonight. And Lord, we come asking that you would just meet us here, and Father, only a way that you can. We trust that you will bless those that will still be on the way. Those, God, that are unable to be with us tonight, we ask that you look upon them as well. And Lord, we thank you just for another week that you've brought us through, and through all the trials and distresses and tribulations, yet, God, you place something in our heart to continue to praise you in the midst of it all, and we thank you for that. So as we come, Lord, to sit at your feet, we pray that your voice will be so clearly heard here tonight. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a little bit of this. He's able.
God is able to do just what he said he would do. And he's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you. He's able, yes he is. Oh, yes he is, yes he is. Oh, hallelujah, God is able to do. Oh, we say, God is able to do just what he said he would do. And he's gonna fulfill every promise to you. So don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you. He's able. Hallelujah. Oh, I know you are, Jesus. Yes, you are. Come on one more time. God is able to do. Yes, he is. God is able to do just what he said he would do. Oh, he's gonna fulfill every promise to you. So don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you. He's able. Oh, 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 he's able. Everybody say, oh, 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 he's able. Come on, sing it again. Say, oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, he's able. Yes, he is. He's able. He's able. He's able. He's able. Whatever you need, whatever you want. God is able. Yes, he is. Oh, 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 he's able. I know he is. See, oh, 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 yes, he is. Yes, he is. Oh, he's able. He's able. He's able. He's able. He's able. He's able. God is able. Yes, he is. Oh, say, oh, 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 he's able. I know you are. Say, oh. Oh, 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 he's able. One more time, say, oh, 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 he's able. Hallelujah, he's able. Say, he's able. He's able. He's able. Yes, he is. Oh, able, able, able. God's able. Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you. Come on, don't give up on God. Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't. Thank you, Jesus. One more time. Don't give up on God. Say, don't give up on God, because he won't give up on you. He's able.
Come on, let's give him praise tonight.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We know you're able, oh God. We know you are. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My God, my God, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's sing this. Say, thank you, Jesus, for the grace that you have given us. And though I can't repay from my heart, I would like to say that I thank you. Oh, everybody singing, thank you. Oh, Jesus. Well, it's for the grace that you have given us. And though I can't repay all from my heart, I would like to say that I thank you. Oh, we're singing, thank you. Oh, Jesus, well, for the grace that you have given us. And though I can repay, Lord, from my heart, I would like to say that I thank you. Oh, everybody singing, thank you.
Oh, Jesus, yes, for the grace that you have given us. And though I can't repay, Lord, from my heart, I would like to say that I thank you. One more time. Oh, we're singing. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, for the grace that you have given us. And though I can't repay, Lord, from my heart, I would like to say that I thank you. Though I can't repay, oh, and though I can't repay, Lord, from my heart, I would like to say that I thank you. One more time. Though I can't repay, oh, and though I can't repay, Lord, from my heart, I would like to say that I thank you. Come on, let's give him praise. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Just one more song. I want to sing Amazing Grace. Now, this is what I call the new way. I think you may know this one. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Come on, one more time. Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, oh, that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, oh, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see.
Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Just try that one more time.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see.
All right, let's do it again.
Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, oh, but now I'm found. Oh, was blind, but now I see.
Come on, one more time.
Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Yes, I once was lost, oh, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see.
All right, praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Amen. You all can be seated just for a moment there. Just want to give opportunity for anyone that want to share a testimony tonight. We'll certainly give space for that. I did have one that I wanted to share. I got a text today from Brother Nathan Bryant there in, I guess it's Jeffersonville, Indiana, and he was texting me to let me know that they closed today on their church. Praise the Lord. They closed today. They signed all the documents, and they bought themselves a church with a basement and everything for like a fellowship hall. And the Lord has just blessed him, and you know, I was just so happy for him. And I told him that they had gone through fire and through water, but the Lord brought them into a wealthy place. And I remember they started in their home, and then they moved to a little schoolhouse, and then from the schoolhouse they moved to the storefront. And while they were in the storefront, there was a restaurant that moved just a few bays down, and the ownership of the plaza said that the restaurant would not be able to sell liquor with a church being that close to them. So the ownership of the plaza decided to kick the church out and let the restaurant stay. And so they moved out of there, and then they went to another church that was right down the street from them. God opened up a door, and while they were there, they were, you know, supposedly going to do a lease with option to buy. And while they're in there having service and everything, in the middle of service, another church came in and bought the property from them, and they had to leave there, you know. So, and they had meetings early this year. Brother Donnie Reagan went to minister there, and when he went, they actually didn't have a building for him to have service in, but some kind of way they found a hall or something like that that they were able to use until God worked some things out. And now they finally have their own that nobody can take from them. You know, it's just a real blessing. And I've been asked to come and to dedicate that building to the glory of God. And I'll be going there to Jeffersonville, Indiana in October. And you know, anyone that would like to go, certainly you're welcome to go along with us there as we go to Jeffersonville. But I'm looking forward to just seeing, amen, what the Lord has done for them. And I'm just so proud, if I can put it that way, so proud of what God has done. And I rejoice with them, amen, in this, and just very happy just to see how the Lord has blessed them in 5 years of ministry. God has been very, very good, very good to them. So we rejoice with them, amen, on today that they got their church. And one day I'm going to be looking forward to sending him a text. We signed off, you know, on our building. So praise the Lord. Amen. We thank God for that. Anybody want to share tonight? Anybody have a testimony or anything in their heart that they want to share? We certainly give opportunity for that. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, amen. Okay, sis. Amen. Thank God for watching over our precious sister and keeping her there. Amen. And in the midst of that, praise the Lord. Anybody else want to share tonight? All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. That was your spot all the time, sis. Thank God for working it out for you. Amen. Anybody else want to share tonight? Praise the Lord. All right. Well, let's take tonight's tithes and offering. Actually, we'll have Brother Daniel take the offering. You can stay there, Brother Jeffrey. Brother Daniel, come and help us take the offering tonight. Amen. I appreciate him. You can just come right on up. I got him up here. And Brother Jeffrey, after you take it, then Brother, you can just give it to Brother Jeffrey. He know what to do after that. But we just thank the Lord for, amen, just being here, amen, one more time. Let's just have a word of prayer, amen, over the offering tonight. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to give. And we ask that you would use this for the furtherance of your kingdom here on earth, and we trust, oh God, that you would just get all the glory and all the honor, Lord, through our giving. And we celebrate with our precious brother Nathan and Church of the Open Door there in Indiana. God, how you provided for them today. And Lord, when we hear testimonies like that, our heart gets uplifted. We get encouraged knowing that you're the same God for us, and you have no respect of persons. So God, help us to remain faithful in our giving, and Lord, to know that you will do the exceeding, the abundant above all we can ever ask or think. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord. Amen. Amen. We certainly rejoice with our precious sister in that, and we're laying claims on it. Just like Sister Jessica had somebody move out the class for her to get in, they won't give that to nobody else but you. And if they do put somebody, they have to move them out because it belongs to you, sis. Amen. We claim that in Jesus' name. All right. Praise the Lord. I'll let you. Thank you, Sister Jessica, for your time and talent tonight. And appreciate your spirit. Amen. Certainly appreciate that. I'm going to read a scripture here tonight, and then I'll let you be seated. Out of 1 John chapter 3. The Lord. Verse 1 and 2 here. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." The Lord is a blessing to reading of his word. Let's just pray over that, and then I'll let you be seated. Father, we thank you for the ability to read the word, but it takes the Holy Spirit to quicken what is really being spoken here to our hearts. So, God, we pray that as we have read it, that the Spirit would come now to speak to us through these few verses, God. So in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I wanted to just take a quick thought tonight on changing my thinking. Amen. Changing my thinking. And if we could, in your Bibles, just go with me to Mark chapter 6. I was reading this particular scripture and just kind of reviewing it, and it just kind of spoke to me that, you know what, we need to kind of change our thinking. I think God challenges us to do that periodically. He challenges us. And here is a story, amen, in the Bible. In verse 35, what we get here is Jesus had these people following him and wanting to hear the word, and the Bible says that he had compassion toward them But in verse 35, it says, when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. So here the people are surrounding Jesus, wanting to hear the word, but the disciples realized where they were. And, you know, I just love the way that God does things. And even when you think about them being in this desert place, I believe God had purpose, intentional, for leading them to this desert place, right? Leading them to this spot where it seemed like there would be nothing. No water, no food. Nothing there for the people to take hold of. And that's when God does his best work, right? When we're in a situation where it seems like there's nothing, it's almost impossible. Because, see, if you can do it, you might as well just go ahead and do it, right? But God likes to put us in situations where can't nobody do it but him, right? And this is a situation where we see that only God could move in this way. I thought it was very intentional for them to be in this desert place. But if I was to read the verse before that, verse 34, it talked about how he had compassion. And the one thing that we need to understand is that when you are in a desert space, a desert place, realize that God has compassion. God has not forgotten about you. Amen. It's not that he's not thinking about you. He's very concerned about your well-being, right? So here the Bible tells us that he had compassion. And verse 35 says, when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. So the disciples are concerned. And when we just really look at this from a natural perspective, their concern, I think, is genuine. I think their concern is very natural, because if this was us in the same situation, we'd be saying, Lord, the people got to eat. You know, they've been here in service all day. They got to eat. Let them go into the villages. Let them get into some of the smaller towns or whatever and try to find themselves something to eat. Just send them away. I think that's just common, right? That's natural. We would say the exact same thing if we were in that situation. But what I feel like happens here is as we continue to read this, that type of thinking is fine, but sometimes God wants you to change that type of thinking. Amen. And here's the challenge here, because when we look at it in verse 37, it says, he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. Now, wait a minute. That just challenged their whole thought process. How are we going to do this? I mean, we realize that we're in a desert place. It's almost impossible for us to come up. I mean, we don't have no food in our sacks. We don't have enough food to feed this many people. I mean, this is you asking for something absolutely impossible. Notice now, he tells them to feed the people. Say, you give them something to eat. Not let's pray, let's do this. No, you give them something to eat. The whole responsibility was placed on their shoulders. Oh, my God. And God put them in this situation to see exactly what they would do about it. Now as we just kind of keep reading here, say, he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? You know, they're trying to figure this thing out. You know, he said unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. Right. I mean, you know, I feel like he's challenging everything that their whole thought process as to how to get this situation handled. He was challenging the whole thing. My God. You know, because I feel like that's the same thing he's doing to us tonight. Maybe we might be going through something, or maybe we're going to go through something. And God is challenging us to see exactly how we're going to handle that. Now, the common way would have been send the people away and let them go buy for themselves. They got the money. But Jesus wanted to do something so extraordinary. We don't want to just be common. We want to be uncommon. We want to do this thing the godly way of doing things. Amen. The supernatural way of doing things. Not just the common way of doing things, right? My God. We got to change our thinking.
We got to realize that we are sons and daughters of God. And I love the way the Bible put it. Say, now are we the sons of God. Right? Not we're going to be, but right now we got to change our thinking so we can see God operating in our situations the way he operated right here. You might be in a desert place, but that's a good spot for God to show himself. Look at this. Look at this. It says, he said unto him, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. Just go out there and see how many loaves you got. Now these are not even their loaves. They're not their loaves. But this is something that belongs to the people. But since we all here together, just go see what's available out there. He would not let them get off with just, you know, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of 200 penny worth of bread? He's not gonna let them get off with a thought like that. Now I want you. I'm gonna keep challenging your thinking. I find out how many loaves you got. Just go out there and see. So now you got all these people, and you got to go find out. Well, how much food you got? 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 I mean, maybe they got discouraged out there that we didn't bring nothing. I didn't bring nothing. I didn't bring nothing. You know how it is. Sometimes you might need a little something from somebody, and you go to them, and they ain't got nothing. You go to somebody else, they ain't got nothing. You go to somebody, they ain't got nothing. Everybody around you got nothing. Hallelujah. Right? I mean, you feel that way. I mean, all my friends got nothing. Lord, I need somebody with something. Well, you got somebody with something. His name is Jesus. My God. Listen, he said, how many loaves have you go and see? And when they knew, they say, five. Can you imagine this? 5,000 people around, and the disciples come back with a report. You want to know how many loaves we got here? Five. It's 5,000 people here. And we got five loaves, and then it goes on. Then they're going to say, and I just love the way the scripture read it. You got to put yourself on the scene, because it's probably Peter that said it, and said it with an attitude, right? We got five loaves and two fishes. We got five loaves and two fishes. Now, what you going to do with that? What you expect us to do with five loaves and two fishes? Didn't we tell you, Jesus, send the people away? Now, all the time we done wasted here counting all this, and we come back with 5,000 people. All we got is five loaves and two fishes. Oh, my God. There are times where I've seen in church where, you might have a church full of people, and you look around with church full, and you think, man, we're going to have a nice offering today. And a church full of people, you might get in the offering, you might get $100 to $200 a church full of people. And there's times where you might come in here and just a handful of people and $1,000 is raised without nobody pulling on it, right? I mean, God got a way of just blowing your mind. Right, you don't limit God. He don't move just because there's a big multitude. Right, all he needs is somebody with some faith. My God, he just needs somebody. But I can just imagine these disciples. We done did all this counting. We done went to all these people. Ain't nobody got. We got one person over here with five loaves of bread and two fishes. Now we already mentioned to you, Jesus, that they should have left a long time ago and went and got something, because the day is far spent. They should have just left a good while ago, Jesus. But look at this. Say, and he commanded them, make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the five loaves and the two fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and the two fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. Now you see, notice now, earlier when we read, he told the disciples, you give them to eat, right? You give them to eat. Now, when he broke the bread and he took the two fishes, and it multiplied, that both the bread and the fishes multiplied. And, notice this was not just raw fish. It was cooked fish. Amen. God had already bypassed the whole process of going out to catch it. Oh, my God. going out to catch it and then scaling it and then filleting it and then putting it on, you know, on a grill or in a pan. God bypassed that whole process, right? And he blessed it, broke it, and just started handing out. And now Jesus didn't hand it out to the people. He told the disciples to hand it out. Now you make them sit down, and now you feed these people. I ain't changed my mind. Now, I might be the one to bless it and everything. I might be the one to multiply, but I'm expecting you to get the job done. You feed the people. Oh, my God, my God. See, we got to change our thinking. God has expectations from us that, you know, oftentimes we feel like maybe we might not be the ones qualified to do it, but now the Bible says now we the sons of God. See, it don't yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we'll be just like him, for we'll see him as he is. I love this. Verse 42 says, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Now, that's not even counting the women and the children. We don't really know what the true number was, but 5,000 men. And those disciples was given a task where they had to feed those people. They had to feed those people. God wanted them involved. I want to read a quote here out of It Is I, Be Not Afraid. The prophet says something here. And it says, now may the Lord add his blessings to them words. We are speaking again of Jesus. That's all we know to speak about is him. And we find him this time, he was about the Father's business, doing what the Father bid him to do. And we are finding him on a ship crossing again, another storm on. We find him this afternoon quieting the seas and giving a maniac his right mind. And now we find him tonight where he had been speaking practically all day. And in his speech or sermon, many people had followed him out of Jerusalem. Perhaps the crowd like this or a little more had followed him out of Jerusalem, out into the wilderness. And it says, and it came time for food, and there was no food. And Jesus said to Peter, you give them something to eat, you feed them. And he goes on to say, do you notice the very things that Jesus did? He expects his church to do the same. My God. The very things that Jesus did, he expects his church to do the same things that he did. I like this church. He said, for the things that I do, shall you do also. Now he said, you give them bread. Now here, you know, the prophet is telling us that the very things that Jesus did, what we read here in the scripture, you know, God is expecting us to kind of pick up where he left off. Amen. As sons of God, this is the way that we're supposed to be operating. You know, when we get into a desert place, we're not supposed to be crying, right? We're supposed to be opening up our mouth, thanking God for what we do have, and watch God multiply in that. Oh, my church. Hallelujah. I am, you know, when I was reading this, it just caused me to say, Lord, I got to change my thinking. Because I would have had the same thought that these brothers would have had. I'd say, Lord, now I think the best way for us to handle this now, you know, they don't have no food. The day is far spent. They've been out here for quite some time. While the shops are still open, let them rush to go get some food. Let them rush to go get some food. But no, that's not how he wanted to do it. He delayed it, made sure the shops was closed and everything, right? I mean, he just delayed a whole process. Now, you go out there and find how much food we got. And, I mean, you can just imagine them coming back with the report and how defeated they would have been, right? Jesus, we coming back. Five loaves of bread, two fish. What do you want us to do with this? So have them sit down. And when they sit down, say, now I'm going to bless this, and I'm going to break this, and then now you feed them. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Right? Boy, it takes some faith. You know, you think about the woman that was in Elijah's day that, you know, that God said, I ordained for her to sustain you during this drought. I ordained. And now, when he gets there to the lady house, maybe the prophet thinking, man, she must be, I don't know what she's doing, but if God said he ordained her, she must be doing pretty good during this drought. But when he get there to the lady house, and start having a conversation with her, the first thing come out of her mouth say, now, wait a minute. I'm getting ready to go bake my last cake. Right? This is my last, and me and my son going to eat this, and we going to die after that. We already know this thing done run out. It is over after this. My God, see, God want us to change our thinking. Stop talking like it's over. Right? Because the reason that the prophet is there to sustain you, and you there to sustain the prophet. Hallelujah. Right? Amen. Here comes the prophet with thus said, well, say, look, sister, if you would just, I mean, God already told me some things about, say, but if you would give me that cake first, rather than feed your son and feed yourself, if you'll bake me a cake first, I guarantee you that your cruse won't go empty and your barrel will not run dry. Wait, what do you mean it ain't going to run dry? Do you see what's in the barrel? See, it won't run dry if you just give me a cake first. Here she comes and maybe the last cake, and she wanted, Lord, I got my last meal. But I'm going to take this and I'm going to give it to the prophet. And I hear that lady gives it to the prophet, and there in that drought, hallelujah, right? God sustained that lady and her son because they were faithful to the word of God. Oh my, you might be in a desert place. You know, in your desert place, God might ask you to give an extra offer. He might. He might ask you to do something that you're like, Lord, ain't no way I can do this and still things work out. I've been there, right? I always love to tell the testimony of having $100 in my pocket going to church. And I'm a person that's probably not, it's not good for me to have money in my pocket. Some of y'all might be the same way I am. But it's not good for me to have money in my pocket, because as soon as they start talking about giving, it just feel like something just start, you know, just pulling that money right on out my pocket. I just can't help it. I just got to give it, right? And I remember, you know, there at church that day, and man, I was in a desert place. All I got is $100. Me and my wife gonna go away for our anniversary, and I got $100 to go to Orlando. Now, any of y'all that went to Orlando on $100, that's a hard trip to take. It's a very hard trip to take. And here I am. I said, well, you know, I already know that I'm gonna at least give $10 of this $100, you know, an offering. I'm gonna give that, you know, praise the Lord. Amen. So I said, you know, here go my $10 in offering. I said, okay, that's a tenth of my $100 that I'm giving for offering. So I got $90, and I'm going to Orlando. And that day, the pastor come out there, and man, you talk about give him something to eat. That's what I felt like, you know. He like, well, we need a parking lot. We need money for a parking lot today. It wasn't no one-time announcement, right? Now, saints, we need a parking lot today. The pastor did not preach, almost like refused to preach. I'm sorry, saints, to do this. Musician, give me a note. They start singing, and he just kept singing song after song and put an offering basket out there. And I said, Lord, I ain't never seen no service like this. I said, God, this ain't right. You know, he got to get on from this. He got to preach the word of God. You know, and I'm just sitting there working. I said, boy, this thing ain't, no, Lord, this ain't right. You know, my spirit was grieved. I'm like, I can't believe he's doing this. And I see one person go up there and put this in, and another person put that in. And, you know, just it seemed like, I mean, we had a pretty good-sized church at that time, but everybody was moving pretty slow. I mean, everybody was moving very slow. I was like, Lord, this is something. And I was sitting back there on the camera. And on the side on the camera, and he just kind of kept going. But them songs, I don't know what songs he was singing, but some kind of way, I just felt like, boy, we ain't gonna get out of church today until somebody gives something. And say, now you know what? They needed, I think, about $10,000 that day, and for the congregation, that the size congregation we had, that was a major chunk of money. But I remember being on the camera. And I'm kind of just like these disciples. Well, now, how you expect us to do something like this, you know, $10,000 with a congregation like this? Come on now. How you expect that to happen? I mean, come on. This don't even make no sense. Well, here, I'm sitting there with all this doubt. I say, well, you know what? See, and here's the thing. The way we're going to get, if we needed $10,000 tonight, the way we get it is by one person giving, and then the next person giving, and then the next person giving. That's how we get the $10,000, right? But, you know, here, I'm sitting there, I'm just vexed in my spirit. I say, well, Lord, all right, I'm going to just give my $90, you know. And I jumped down off the camera, walked up to the front, just reached in my pocket, got the whole nine, and just put it in. And I went on back to the camera thinking, Lord, nah, when I tell my wife that I just gave all the money in the offering and we going to Orlando, this going to be a real rough trip, right? And but what the Lord did to me was kind of show me that he's the same God that provided in the Bible. He's the same God that provides today. I took the $90 and put it in there. Pastor saw it and just stopped the giving for the parking lot. Praise God. He said, this brother's so faithful. Church, y'all forget about the parking lot. Forget about the parking lot. Let's take up an offering for him and his wife right there in the church. And when they did that, everybody started coming out of the woodworks writing checks. And everybody, I said, well, how come they didn't give like that for the parking lot? I could not believe. But by the time they counted the money, they went to the back and counted the money. It was $900 in that offering. I took 90 and God made it 900. Now, if I would have had the right attitude, God could have made it 9,000. But it just showed me that, you know, God is a provider. God, when we just begin to change our thinking, right, just change your thinking just a little bit. When it comes to, you know, when God challenges you to do something, be quick to just step up and do it, right? I mean, I think it even got to go further than just the giving part, because here, you know, with the disciples, like, not only do I want you to, you know, give out of your money, but you know what? I want you to take on the responsibility and feed these people. I know they're coming to me, but I want you to take care of it. You take care. Like I just read this quote, Brother Branham said, did you notice the very things that Jesus did? He expects his church to do the same things that he did. For he said, the things that I do shall you also. Now he said, you give them bread. Church, that's just one quote that you can sit there and meditate on. Lord, how you want me to do this? See, our thinking is always, this is impossible. Ain't no way. You know, has anybody else done this before? And if ain't nobody else done it, we just feel like it can't be done. Well, that's not, you know, you can't tell Mary that, right? Because Mary had a child without seeing and without coming in contact with any man. She was a virgin that conceived, right? I mean, God can challenge you to do some things that go well beyond just natural thinking. And the only way it's going to get done is when we change our thinking. God help me here. We were to go on in Mark. Let's go to Mark chapter 8 and verse 1. Because here it happens all over again. It happens all over again. Says, in those days, the multitude being very great, having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. Many of them came from far. It says, and his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? So here they're doubting all over again. And if I tell you what, if these fellas don't remind me of myself, how many times God has already made a way, and then you go through something again. And rather than relying on what God did the first time, you actually start, let me put it that way, I start talking like God ain't going to do it. God help me. See, I mean, you know, there was a person in Scripture say, you know, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief, right? That's the way I feel all the time. Lord, I know I believe, but help my unbelief. Why do I doubt? I done seen you do this before. Right? So why, when this whole, I mean, the whole, I mean, the scenario looks the exact same. So why would I start doubting again? I watched you do this before. I mean, I think God would have been more pleased if the disciples just got up. Say, you got compassion on them? You want us to feed them? Okay. Maybe they should have took it and start praying over it and blessing it and just going out. Well, I tried, Jesus. At least I tried, right? Not this doubt. You know, his disciples asked him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? Look at it, verse 5. And he asked them, how many loaves have you? Here we go, down the same path again. How many loaves have ye? This time they had an answer. It said 7. Here's again. Look at this. The same strategy. He commanded the people to sit down on the ground. So you get them all organized. First, you got to kind of diffuse the situation because people get, you know, so they can get out of order, right? When everybody's standing and yelling and screaming, saying, no. I need you to calm down, so just sit down. You sit down. Let's put 50 over here. Let's put 100 over here. Let's get the crowd under control. And when we get the crowd under control, get your emotions under control. When we get that under control, now God can do something. Oh, glory to God. He commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took 7 loaves and gave thanks and break and gave to his disciples and to set before them, and they did set them before the people, and they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them, so they did eat and were filled, and they took up of them of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. They went from having just 7 fish to now we got 7 baskets. And again, God bypassed the whole process. You know, I like this bypass the whole process, because I don't know what I'll need God to do to bypass the whole process. Oftentimes we feel like the way that we're going to get our needs met is God got to bless us with a job, and then through that job we're going to make so much money, and then through making so much money, then we're going to save so much money, through saving so much money, then we're going to do this. God can bypass the whole process. See, when he turned the water into wine, that water, that the grapes were supposed to ferment for so much time, but it never even had an opportunity to ferment because he bypassed the whole process, right? Church, God is able to do that. Whatever situation you're in, God is able to bypass the whole process. Oh, he's God. Oh, Lord, help me to change my thinking. I want to stop limiting God to, this is the only way God can do it. No, God can bypass the process. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God. Listen. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. You know, I remember the story that we hear so often. Brother Caleb was the first one to share this, and it's the first time I ever heard that quote when he shared it here at Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. And that quote, now I hear it everywhere I go, all over the world. But when Brother Branham had the dream, and in the dream, God was telling him, you know, that the people saying, you know, you've been misunderstood, and you've misunderstood us, and so on and so forth, you know, and all of that that was going on in the dream. It got to a point where he said he saw the Lord Jesus, and he said he saw the people behind bars, and he said, you know, what can I do to get those people from behind those bars? And it said the Lord Jesus came to him in the dream. And in the dream, the Lord Jesus said, I'm expecting you to deliver those people. And he started thinking to himself, like, how could I do this? I mean, I'm not strong enough to deliver nobody. I can't break them bars. I mean, what do you want me to do? He said, but notice, Jesus didn't tell him what to do. He just told him what the expectation was. I'm expecting you to deliver the people. You get them from behind them bars some kind of way. And he said while he was there in the dream, he said, you know, he started looking and said, I'm just too small. I don't have enough strength to break these bars. But he said, so I said, right? So I said, house of hell, give way to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying all of a sudden them bars broke, and the people went free from that situation. So, you know, church, when we want to see God begin to move in this manner, the first thing that happens is that if we change our thinking, then we'll change the words that come out of our mouth. Hallelujah. If you can change your thoughts, then you'll change what words come out of your mouth. Rather than speaking doubt and fear and unbelief, you'll speak faith. Hallelujah. Even when sickness attacks your body, speak the word of God over your condition. Right? Don't speak, well, this is what the doctor said, and, you know, we got to stay with the doctor. No, continue to speak the word of God over your condition. You know, I was recently reading, and it's something that actually set me free, you know, from something. You know, oftentimes we don't necessarily want to take the medicine. I know I've been there. I don't want to take the medicine. Sometimes the medicine make me feel this way and make me feel that way. I don't want to take it. Well, I was reading something one night, and Brother Branham was trying to, he had a sister coming through the prayer line. He said, sister, I've just been trying to really pick up what's really going on in your spirit. I've been trying to pick it up. Say, I can't see nothing. Say, only thing I see is that you're refusing to take the medicine that the doctor giving you. That's the only thing I see. He said, sister, don't do that. Don't do that. Say, God uses the medicine. Say, don't do that, sister. You can go ahead and take the medicine. I say, Lord, my God. I say, whatever was it, I mean, he picked that up in that lady. That's the same thing he picked up in me, too. He say, don't do that. Say, here, my thing is my prayers that I won't have to take the medicine. But until then, I'll take it. Right? I mean, God uses the medicine to bring healing in your body. Right? God can use the medicine. So, you know, here, sometimes the way that we think about things is what actually stops us from being able to get all that God wants for us. God help me to change my thinking. I want to think on the word of God. I want to think on, I just want to think on his promises. I want to confess what he said about it. I don't want to just my thoughts. I don't want it to be that way. Let my thoughts be his thoughts, right? Because, you know, when the scripture tells us that God's thoughts are not like our thoughts, and his ways are, man, they surpass our ways. They're not like our ways. So, I mean, here when we look at the disciples, their way was just like my way. This is the normal way of doing things. Send the people away, let them go buy something, and then that'll be that. That's the normal way of doing things. But God said, no, I got something extraordinary I'm about to do. Let the shops close. How many fish you got? How many loaves of bread you got? 5, 2. Okay, let me have that. Bring that to me. He might say, how much money you got? Do you trust me? Right? Let me have that. Let me have that. You give that to me. And when you give that to me, now you watch and see what happens to your bank account. And don't think that you're going to have to, you got to work. Lord, I done worked so hard to get this. God will bypass the process. It might not be through your work that he'll give it to you. You don't know how God will give it. Don't limit him. You could be walking down the street one day, like Brother and Sister Wisdom was in a whole nother state. Pull their car up just to get gas. And somebody walk up and say, the Lord told me to give you this. You don't know what God will do. You just trust God. But in the midst of it, let's change our thinking. Let's pray. Father, we were challenged, Lord, by a scripture here tonight. We see the disciples, and Lord, just the way that they handled this circumstance, we can identify with just the Lord, the way that they did it. That's the normal way of doing things. That's just so ordinary. But Father, you challenged those disciples that they had to do something extraordinary. God, as we read this in the Word, your prophet says, and even you said it, you said, greater works than these shall you do, for I go unto my Father. You said, you told us the things that you do, you want us to do also. And God, you have an expectation that we would fall in line with Scripture. And the Bible tells us that right now, we are the sons of God. Sometimes we don't feel like that. Sometimes the doubt, Lord, that bombards our minds, Lord, makes us feel like we'll just never accomplish what it is that you want us to accomplish. But, oh God, we realize that that's just the trick of the enemy to get us, Lord, to get our eyes off the promise that you've made concerning us. And if we could just keep our eyes on the promise, change how we think about the promise, Lord, and begin to confess your word over it, then we'll see you do things, Lord, that we never imagined. It won't just be things that we read in Scripture. How you provided for the woman that gave her last to the prophet. It won't just be things like that. How you provided for 4,000 or 5,000. Lord, it won't be just things that we read in Scripture. If we could change our thinking, then God will see you do the same thing here in our day. We have a responsibility. And God, we accept that responsibility. We don't shirk it. We don't run from it. But we accept it. We walk towards it as David walked towards Goliath. Help us, Lord. Help me, God, to change my thinking. Let me think of things that are just, pure, of good report, things that are lovely. God, let me think on those things. There be any virtue, any praise, God, let us think on those things. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Let your word challenge us, Lord. Let it challenge us, and let us marinate and just meditate on what your word says to us, God. And help us to rise up to be the people that you've called us to be. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Oh, Savior, he can move the mountain. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Oh, forever, author of salvation. Yes, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, Savior, oh, he can move the mountain. Yes, my God is mighty to save. Yes, he is mighty to save. Oh, forever, author of salvation. Well, you rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and
let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Oh, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Oh, Savior, oh, He can move the mountain. Yes, my God is mighty to save. Oh, He is mighty to save forever. Oh, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Let's give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. Father, we are grateful just to come here and, Lord, sit at your feet and just hear your voice speak to us, challenge us. And, God, we pray that we would all rise up to be all that you've called us to be. The enemy has done a very good job of, Lord, confusing our minds and things of that nature. But God, help us to rest on the promises of what you've spoken right now. God, not will be, not hope to be, but right now we are the sons and daughters of God. Doth not yet appear, but we know that when you shall appear, we'll be just like you, for we'll see you as you is, and we'll be operating the same way that you operated while you were here on earth. So God, help us, Lord, to recognize that and not just let it go in one ear and out the other, but Lord, let it become part of, Lord, our everyday living. Lord, we need that. We pray your blessings, Lord, upon your people as they leave this place, but not your presence. We ask, God, that you watch over each one, and we thank you for keeping us and allowing us to come back here into your house. And God, as we prepare for Sunday morning, God, coming for another time of prayer at 7 a.m., for Sunday school at 9:30, and then service at 10:30, we pray that you would speak, Lord, to our hearts once more. And God, our prayers that every person that would come through the doors would leave changed by the power of God. You know the condition in every heart, so speak, Lord, to the conditions. And may your presence be so real, God, here in the midst of your people. Help us, God, to get our thoughts in line with what you want to do here in this hour. We believe this is a season for the dynamic power of God. And you said the dynamics of this church would be a refilling of the Holy Ghost. So God, let your spirit pour out freely in this place. God, we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. The brothers will come to dismiss you.